Our first name is Father. We give thanks for the day that you provide us today. Lead us and guide us to make decisions for your people. May we have traveling graces. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This time we'll have April call the roll call, please.
Pete Beaver.
Present.
Randall Hicks.
Present.
David Hill. Robert Huff.
Present.
Adam Jones.
Here.
We have four present and one absent.
We have four present, one absent comes to the quorum. Any business conducted tonight will be official. And Mr. Hill is on travel status. So. Next on the first on the agenda is the approval of minutes on September 21st. Okay, must be made to approve. With any necessary changes, there are a second.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Pete Beaver.
Yes.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
Adam Jones.
Yes.
And that three in favor and none against.
And three in favor and none against, that the bill has been approved. Now the order of business is TR-17-144. A travel resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a jail services agreement with the Milwaukee County Criminal Justice Authority, State of Oklahoma.
Motion to pass.
Motion to pass. Here, a second.
Second.
Okay, floor is open for discussion. Lindsay, you want to?
Yeah, sure. If Chief Hawkins wants to jump in, he can. as we're all aware, the nation doesn't have a detention facility, so whenever we arrest anyone or they get sentenced to jail through our court system, we don't have anywhere to put them. So we have contracted historically with Okmulgee County to use their detention facility. So when someone's arrested, they're taken to Okmulgee County Jail. Or if they have a sentence to serve out, they're sent to Okmulgee County Jail and held there. We've had a contract in the past, and the contract had lapsed. And so we'd still proceeded with working with Okmulgee County. We were still sending prisoners there. They'd still invoice us everything. So this just formalizes in a new contract how we've been proceeding for the last little bit with no contract in place. So.
I can tell y'all that with this contract on with this jail, our jail fees initially were $20, a day for to hold our prisoners. It has since increased. It's gone up to 42, I believe, and everything. But we have a new facility, and of course, with the new facility, you're going to have new expenses and everything. So that's the reason why they've gone up on their fees.
Okay. Any questions? Hearing that, roll call, please.
Pete Beaver.
Yes.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
Adam Jones.
Yes.
Turning out three in favor and zero against.
No, three in favor and against, that's been approved. Next on the agenda is TR-17-145. Do we hear a motion to accept the substitute bill?
Motion.
Second. Here, second. All in favor, say aye. Okay, so we'll address the substitute bill. It's TR-17-145. A travel resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute the software as a service agreement between the Muskogee Creek Nation and Tyler Technologies. Hear a motion?
Motion to pass.
Hear a second?
Second.
Floor is open for discussion.
Might be easiest. I'll just speak a little bit why there is a substitute, and then I'll certainly let the controller address kind of what we're doing with that agreement and the more the substance of it. You have a substitute. We had talked with the vendor about the application of the law of the province of Ontario, Canada, being applicable to the end user license agreement. There'd been some discussion about making the jurisdiction and the venue for any disputes Dallas County, and the law of the state of Texas would be the applicable law, which obviously is much easier to deal with were any issues to arise rather than us having to associate counsel in Canada and deal with that. And so that change was made. It was made after we'd sent you the legislation. Okay. So we did a substitute to change that to state of Texas law, Dallas County, Texas. And then we had done a separate paragraph just to make it clear that related to the software as a service agreement itself, That if there is any dispute that arises, federal law will govern that dispute, and it'll be here in the Eastern District in Muskogee in the federal court should any issues arise. And so we thought about doing just asking for an amendment on the floor, but I think it got kind of, I thought that might get kind of confusing, so we just did a substitute.
Okay.
So that's why you have a substitute. And then I said, of course, I'll let the controller speak to the substance.
Thank you, sir. This agreement is because our current system that we have is obsolete and it's no longer being supported. We spent several months researching all of the different companies that offer government-owned accounting. We narrowed it down to two. We had them come out to put on demonstrations for several days. Also, we found out that the Tyler Technologies one we're going with, Tulsa Public Schools uses them, so we went up there and met with them and discussed how the implementation went, how they really felt the product was. So we did get to see it in action. We feel like it is the best governmental accounting system out there that we're aware of.
Okay.
We are going to be able to pay for the implementation fee with our current budget through some indirect costs, indirect funds that we already have.
Okay.
This contract that is attached is a 5-year contract, and so going forward, the monies that are budgeted for each year, since we're bringing payroll back in-house, we won't have to use Paycom, and we're actually paying Paycom. We would be more than what these yearly fees will be. These fees are for the maintenance and for hosting it in the cloud. There's a lot of positive things about it. The reporting features are just phenomenal. But it's also going to allow the directors and the managers to have instant access to their, to be able to see real on-time data, to be able to make financial decisions. It's going to empower them to be able to watch their budget, make good financial decisions, and we're going to be able to quit pushing so much paper.
Yeah, okay.
If you have any questions.
Yeah, any questions from Ms. Rowe? Pete? Okay. Hearing none? Randall? Speak your question? Okay. If that, nothing else here, roll call, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Tom Jones?
Yes.
And we got 3 in favor and none against.
Yeah, 3 in favor and against, that's been approved. Linda, the
thank you.
This is the preferred legislation for funding sources approval.
Yes, sir. NCA 17191 will be paid by capital improvement funds.
Okay.
NCA 17197 will also be paid by capital improvement funds.
Okay.
Everything else soon will be interest on the loan.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to accept those interest funding sources as presented?
Make a motion.
Here, a second. Roll call, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Coming out 3 in favor and none against.
Yeah, 3 in favor and against, that's been approved. Moving on down to the other business is the Gaming Operations Authority Board.
Sir.
Chris.
Okay. Pat will hit the financials in detail here shortly, but just kind of as a summary introduction, it was a good quarter for our gaming properties. We also had some too low.
Can't see over the table.
The River Spirit Resorts. We got a couple nice announcements as far as events that we'll be hosting in the future, and some additional awards that we were made aware of that property was awarded just recently. So okay. I'll let Pat touch on the specifics of those, and I'll turn it over to him.
Okay. Yeah, as Chris mentioned, it was a great month to finish off the fiscal year. For the month, our revenues were $29.3 million, up $4 million from a year ago. They were pretty much all a River Spirit casino. It's kind of like we've been talking all year long. The smaller casinos are still in a little bit of a, what I call a hangover from the oil and gas contraction. But they are starting to come back, but nothing like the River Spirit. our operating income was $12.1 million above last year, or $12.1 million, about $550,000 above last year. And for the month, our distribution was $8.2 million, which was $821,000 above last September. And then also our distribution of $8.2 million for the month was above our budget by $305,000. Excuse me, for the fiscal year, our revenues were about $339 million. Operating income, $142 million. And our distributions to the nation were $99 million for the fiscal year, which is above prior year by $1.6 million. Versus our budget, our distributions were $2.3 million ahead of budget for the fiscal year. One thing I might mention, in our distributions, you might recall we made a $2 million special distribution for the purchase of the property, you know, the mobile home park property on Riverside Drive. We had to record it on our books as a distribution because we can't put land on our books. And I think the nation had to record it somewhere else. So our numbers will be off by a couple of million dollars, but that's the only way we were told we could record it on our books because, and the money, I think the money went directly to a title company, didn't it? So, okay. So that's, I'm not sure how the, I guess the auditors can figure all that out when they do the audit at the end of the year. But we have a little bit of a difference there. But the monies that we sent to the nation, plus the $2 million for that purchase, was $99 million for the year.
On that real quick, I know you stay in touch with Michael on that. What's the update on that with removing everyone from the park? Do I need to ask Mike that?
Yeah, I think probably Mike.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah. We haven't done anything on that front yet.
Any ideas for that over there yet?
No, I mean, we know what we'd like to see happening over there, and that's one of the reasons for wanting to control it, is we'd like to see, you know, budget motels and, you know, retail restaurants and things like that, which, you know, increases our room base. We're basically sold out on the weekends right now, and we're, 50-60%, you know, during the midweek, so additional rooms around there, particularly budget, you know, like happened up around Hard Rock, would really, really be beneficial to us. We've had some really big conventions, group business. Sometimes we can house them all, sometimes we can't, and they'll go to the Crown Plaza or the Marriott, or, you know, there's a Holiday Inn Express over by the aquarium. But I think room, you know, rooms and other commercial would help us over there. Yeah, the other things we report on are savings on commissions from purchasing equipment is over $100 million at River Spirit, and have been $128 million since we started the program of buying machines. We operate about 5,700 electronic gaming machines. 69% of them are leased, and about 30% of them are owned. About 57% of them are Class 3, and 43% of them are Class 2. Our Native American employment for the month went up 15% over last year, and our Creek Nation citizen employment increased by 14% over last year. Next page in the packet is just a by property revenues, operating income, net income, and distributions by property for the month, the quarter, and the year to date. The next is the summary information about the tribal and Creek employment. The page after that is the same, but broken down by property. See, the far right is the Creek percentage, Native American percentage, I'm sorry, by each property. The next sheet in the packet is, this is just River Spirit alone. It shows the number of active employees, the number of applications we received during the month of September, the number of new hires. Our applications for the month, the Creek citizens were 3% of our applications and 36% of our new hires. I think I've mentioned before, whenever Creek citizens come in, they all get an interview, and if they can qualify and get past the regulatory They all are offered a position. It may not be the one they applied for, but they are all offered a position, and they can either they can accept it or they can decline it and, you know, hold out for the one they wanted. The next one is the timing of when people are when their pre-screening date, what the current status was at the end of the month, and their date they went to OPG and the date they were hired, and we have not been having any major delays with OPG for a number of months now. The next two or three pages is a census of Creek citizens that are holding all of our salaried and managerial positions. And as of the end of September, there were 151 Creek citizens holding managerial positions within the company. The next one is the Paradise Cove schedule, and we've got some great acts coming up. I hope you can all make one of them. We're the only venue in the state of Oklahoma this year. Is Steve Martin and Martin Short, the Martin and Martin Show. They go out not every year, but when they do go on tour, they'll only do one venue per state. And we are the venue for the state of Oklahoma for 2017. And I've never been to the show, but I assume it's pretty hilarious.
Really?
So hopefully you can all make it. It's on October 28th. You can see the others, right? And the one that I think Chris was talking about is last year for the Miss Oklahoma pageant, we did some preliminary meetings and dinners and stuff like that in our property in the convention center. They were so impressed, and when they saw our showroom theater, they're going to actually have the finals and award the crown in Paradise Cove next June. And so that's a pretty big deal, getting that pageant, you know, in our property. And I guess the other one, the last one is, I don't know how many of you are Paul Anka fans and we're looking for that concert, but he was supposed to appear next month. I don't think his health is doing well. He postponed, and he may have to cancel. We don't really have a good track record with those guys. Even the young ones. You know, Ralphie may appear last month.
Yeah, he died. He had
a heart attack and died.
Don Rickles. A
couple of weeks ago, yeah. We've had Don Rickles, George Jones. There's about four.
It's a water in the river. It's a mercury in the river.
I don't know what it is.
But they haven't started calling it a curse yet, have they?
And then the next two or three pages, I think I've reported a couple of times about all the different awards that River Spirit has gotten. I mean, these are not solicited. These are just coming at us. And I think I did mention to you that we did get a AAA Four Diamond Award on our first review, which happened about 3 months after we were open. That's a pretty incredible feat in and of itself. Puts us in the top 6% of all AAA-approved facilities in North America. One we were just advised of this week is we were selected by Oklahoma Magazine as one of the great companies to work for in 2017. And the criteria for that is that we provide interesting and challenging work, we offer great rewards to our employees, we foster a fulfilling work environment, and we are having a significant impact on the Oklahoma economy. So those are the four criteria. We're, you know, they're by industry segment, but for the industry segment of hospitality and hotels and gaming, we've been named as one of the great companies to work for.
Some questions, Pete?
You want to mention something about the remodels?
Oh, sure.
We got planned at the business properties.
Hang on.
Okay. That was my question. I was going back to Bristow, you follow home wheel and O'Keefe. Since O'Keefe, we have a new community center there. Mm-hmm. Plans you're getting ready to
right, we've got the architects. There's actually all of our architects and construction people are taking a road trip to Okemah tomorrow to look at it. And we bought the mobile home park years ago. We finally got the trailers off the park. And now that the nutrition center is going to be moving out, so we're going to go in and remodel and improve the whole thing. the cafe there will expand a little bit. We need some office space. We can, and the main thing we're doing though is our main entry will be where the mobile home park to the north, and we'll pave that, and that'll make a big difference there. And we did
for Holden.
Holdenville. The crew is going down by Holdenville. What Doug would like to do down there is to do some interior and some exterior improvements and remodel, and he'd like to find a place to put a sign where people could find a place. Mm-hmm.
I think the old actually hurt Holdenville or anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of our properties. It's surprising how much, you know, the oil service companies, you know, the guys, you know, how many of them work down there. And what I'm hearing from people I know that are both in the exploration side and the service side is, you know, the oil was down and the economy was so bad, a lot of the guys moved to North Dakota, West mm-hmm. Texas, wherever. And they're having a hard time finding oil field workers, and particularly some of the service workers. So.
You follow, that's what I was talking about, Chris, earlier. When do you think we'll have that feasibility study made?
They're updating one. We've got one feasibility study on the Fountainhead. It's been so long, we're doing another one, but the holdup is the land going into trust. It's supposedly moving along. The Corps of Engineers property, which is called Track 2, that hasn't been transferred yet. I think they have to do some appraisals and determine a price and everything like that. That has not happened yet. And the land and trust application is all of a sudden, I guess maybe due to the change in administration, it's kind of gone in a black hole. It was the plan was to get it done before the end of last year. It didn't get done, and we talked to Sonia in Realty, you know, at least every week, and there's not much movement there. So
that's killer on that.
Yeah, it's a tough location. We're actually looking at other locations around Eufaula where we can find maybe some Creek citizens that have restricted property, or there's a process through the IMM accounts where you find a Creek citizen that's got restricted property. You can buy that property from them, put the money in an IMM account, and then they can go buy a piece of property anywhere, and that restricted status goes to that new property. That's the way Cherokee and Choctaw people, that's what all of the last three or four Cherokee properties, they've done that process. But, you know, the cleanest is just to find some that's already there and do a lease on it. You know, get on with life. The IMM takes a little bit of time, but that might be what we need to do. Is the feasibility study for Fountainhead coming up fairly good for like a resort and a hotel and probably a family oriented, but it's a little bit out of the way. Plus, it's a little bit close to Chakota, so we might be better off doing something, you know, closer into to Eufaula. And we're looking at some properties there now.
Awesome. Progress.
Yeah. Tell them about Muskogee.
Oh yeah. As far as Muskogee, we are in the design process of Muskogee. I think you guys have you seen the.
I didn't show.
We should bring that presentation down. There's a great presentation that shows a complete remodel of Muskogee. We add a second main entry. It would be on the east side. On the very front, when you walk into Muskogee, it's like really, really low ceilings. And we've moved machines where you can see in now, but it's still really low. The new design takes that front portion, and we've got the structural engineer that did the property. We're going to pop that up, and you walk in, and it's just wide open, and you can do, you know, a chandelier or some kind of a nice entry feature, and just really open that up. So that's in design process right now.
Did you ever look at going up two flats?
Or
two second story?
No, it's just going to be open in that entry, just past that entry on the left-hand side where the cashier cage and a lot of things like that, and a players club, that will be moved out, and you know that front area which is also low, I think it was actually just a patio or a porch or something, and it was enclosed. We can do the cashiers and the players club and stuff with a low ceiling. And we can open up that ceiling, so you, not only the entry will open up, but as you walk in, it'll be big, wide open on both sides.
Right.
It'll. We need to bring that. For some reason, I thought we'd shown that to you, but I guess not. But it's great. I mean, it's an impressive. it's not just our architectural renderings, but it's got a fly through. It's really, really good. We need to bring that down and show that.
All right, next one.
And then the other one, of course, Duck Creek. We're in the process right now of expanding and remodeling Duck Creek. It did so well. We're adding 8,000 square feet, adding another set of restrooms, adding another entry, and we're going to probably close to double the number of machines in there. And we're also doubling the size of the parking. Where the trucks park now, there's a gravel parking lot. That'll be moved to the east, and we'll pave all of that. So we're going to go from 250, 300 machines up to 500 to 600 machines in there. And it'll be, you know, we're using I-5. They're going to come in and continue the design, you know, the really nice design and color. So they'll put that through the remainder of it. But they're doing some of the civil and dirt work right now.
And then the front entryway at Okmulgee.
Oh, yeah. The Okmulgee One Fire Casino over here. We're already starting to, we're, you know, right out in the very front, there's a smoker that doesn't look very, kind of unsightly a little bit. We're moving that around to the side, on the side of the building, the east side. We're doubling the size of the refrigeration and freezers, kind of put it into a yard with a fence around it. But we're doing a remodel of the front of the building and replacing, there's like a glass storefront, put in regular double doors, do a vestibule so it doesn't get cold, open all that up, and, you know, make it, and that front, the front is, the inside of it's been really nice for a number of the years, but your main entry is not very pleasing to the eye. And so we're also remodeling both sets of restrooms during this part of this also. So we're moving on. We're doing what we can for all these other properties. So, and we did, of course, you know, finished off a complete remodel of Chakota this year, about the end, mid end of May, and like most of them, the business goes up substantially after one of these remodels. It's kind of very, very satisfying to see that, really.
John Green wanted me to ask you this. Hmm? She's on her way to Grand Canyon, but she wanted me to ask about the gift shops there at River Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Do we operate them, or are they contracted out?
No, we operate the gift shops.
Any questions?
I think last time I asked Andy about class 2 versus class 3, the distribution. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to see what the comparison was.
The distribution
for class 2 versus class 3 property.
Oh, what, by property?
Okay. And also the own versus lease.
Okay, yeah, we have that. We have those. Okay.
And then the other thing is, I don't know about you guys, but the property sharing. I'd like to see Creek versus other. Actually, what the percentage of the amounts the Creeks are getting versus non-tribal and other employees. I'd like to see it broke down as far as the amount, because I know at one time this was a tool used to employ Creek citizens. Correct? I mean, it was like another amenity to hire Creek citizens. But just looking at your list here, you got Creeks, Native Americans, and non-Native Americans. You got Creeks, other tribal, non-Native, total
mm-hmm.
employees.
Right.
Your Native American percent, it's high. Because you're counting Creeks and
so you want an additional column in there that says what percent is Creek,
right?
Okay,
and I would just like to see how much of that profit sharing is actually going to Creek citizens versus everybody else.
Okay, sure. So we have all that information by property. It's in a huge binder, but it's not on here. But we can certainly do that easy enough.
Okay. Neil?
Well, I do want to tell you, thank you for inviting us up to that Ron McDonald Dazzle.
Yeah, it was a nice event.
It was very nice. We really enjoyed it.
One thing I want to talk about, just a real brief, is what happened with the Muskogee with shutting down the
table games,
and, you know, how much, okay. why the decision was made.
Okay. Yeah, just in a nutshell, the live table games at Muskogee have been losing money for a number of years, and the loss has been widening. Last year, they lost about $182,000 or $187,000, and we've been talking to the general manager over there and told him he needed to really come up with a plan to, you know, curb the loss, break even or something. And the budget this year that was submitted was a $100,000 loss. And they had they really didn't have a plan. They're giving away all their ante, trying to entice business. When you give away all your ante, it's free. You have no money in the, that comes out of your players' pool. Normally, you take money in your players' pool to offset, pay for your labor expenses and your, you know, shuffle machines and everything like that. There was just no way out. And the table games for years over there, it felt like they were, an advantage to us because our competitor there didn't have them. But that's not been the case lately because our competitor over there has been gaining market share and we've been losing a little bit. So we did shut down the table games. All of the employees were given at least a month's severance pay, all of their PTO. We kept them on the insurance, I think, through November. It was a pretty liberal, you know, severance package for them.
There were Four Creek citizens.
Yeah, they were out of the entire group. There were Four Creek citizens. They were all offered other jobs.
Yeah,
three took jobs in the same department at River Spirit.
How many individuals are we talking about?
There were 18 full time and 15 or 16 part time employees.
Yeah, I heard the number 33.
Yeah, that sounds about right. We were originally told there were 18 and four of them were Creek. As it turns out, those were full time, and there were another, you know, couple of dozen or a dozen part-time or so part timers. It could have been handled better. The GM kind of took it upon himself to announce to all the people before we had worked out and got approved by the gaming board what the full severance pay would be. So they were told that today's your last day, basically, and thank you for your service. But he didn't have, that's the bad news, he didn't have the good news to go along with it, which was all of the severance pay and covered him for insurance for that month and the following month. But it was just a business decision, and the loss, you know, and we're, the tables are off the floor now. Machines have been ordered to go in there, and, you know, electronic gaming machines will make a whole lot more money than, you know, the live table games will make. And you know, the evaluation, particularly from a marketing people, is that the table games just didn't, you know, they just didn't bring that many more people in to play the electronic games.
Sure. Thank you, man. Anything else you guys want to?
On the Creek citizens that were offered the positions at River Street, mm-hmm. were they not offered positions at Muskogee?
Well, yeah, first they were.
Yes.
But a lot of them wanted to. They wanted to stay in table games, didn't they? So they were offered dealer or shift supervisor or game supervisors at River Spirit. But yeah, they were absolutely the first offered of anything that was open at Muskogee.
Guy hit me up this week just about that, but didn't Choctaw Nation close their tables also down in Calsport?
Probably. There's very, very few small casinos.
So.
It's just, you can't
make any money.
The Oklahoma model is just hard. I mean, your revenue from the tables is your ante. And making blackjack players and crap tables players ante is just, excuse my language, just pisses them off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just taking their bankroll and you know, you're busting them out sooner. And, until Oklahoma changes their gaming laws and regulations we've grown. I mean, I understand what it was 15 years ago when 14, whatever it was, when the compact. And we still make most all of our money in electronic games, but there's money to be made in table games, but you got to treat them right. You can't charge them an ante to play blackjack. You got to put a set of dice in their hands if they can roll. You give them a roulette wheel with a P. I mean, it's.
What about internet gaming? I know the Iowa's, they got theirs up and going, so where do we stand, or are we even going to compete with them?
Well, we're kind of waiting to see what happens with them. Several have tried. One of the other tribes here, didn't they get into that, and they lost a whole bunch of money?
Now Iowa's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, we've we've had a, how many studies have we done?
Two or three.
We've had two or three done, had a legal opinion done.
Everybody that we've
talked to vendors
to
with
vendors and attorneys and all these really smart people, who knows who's going to be correct, but they're all saying, you know, be ready, but don't jump in right now. Which tribe was it that lost, like, I don't know, $8 or $10 million? I remember it was one of the Oklahoma tribes. I can't remember the name of it, but they jumped in with a little bit disreputable. And you know, the ones that are doing it, they're having to do it in Europe. I mean, it's not legal here, but they're probably making a little bit. I imagine they're making a little bit, and the operators taking most of it.
Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you, guys. Is there anything else for you?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the Muskogee International. Hey, Matt.
How's it going?
How's it going?
Everybody doing well? Yep. So some of the strategic highlights for the fourth quarter was, of course, we were bidding various BIA solicitations. We're always tracking after those. There was a project through the Department of Interior with their park service for the leak meet, not CCTV system. Still working with Strand as a subcontractor for some of their VoIP upgrades and the Seagal Polygraph Center expansion. One of the things that we actually just received notification on that one is that they're moving it to next year. So we expected the award any time, and then we received notification that it's not coming through this semester or this quarter, but next year. So we're still waiting on that one. That's the Seagal Polygraph Center expansion. It was through INL. So some of the financial highlights, fourth quarter, we produced $2.5 million in earned revenue. 1.9 in direct job expenses gave us a gross profit of $550,000. Indirect expenses and G&A expenses totaled $269,000, which gave the company a net profit of $280,000 for the quarter and $542,000 for the year. From this, MI was able to provide a distribution of $150,000 back to the Muskogee Cree Nation, and we're also to pay $100,000 against our loan to MNBE. The Satec Oral, on to operating highlights, the Satec Oral Trials Courtroom Reporting Infrastructure Project, it's been going on well. We've had a couple of issues within our warranty services, and that's basically the only thing we're doing right now is providing warranty, but we're not quite meeting the service level agreement, so we put a full court press on making sure that we improve those operations, that whenever a site goes down, that we have somebody out there immediately to correct it. There's just been too much of a lag between when they open a ticket with us and when it's actually complete. So we're working hard to remedy that situation. The MCOR guys, everything's going great is there down at Fort Huachuca. We actually have a meeting coming up to meet with the MCOR senior leadership because it's going to come up for a recompete soon, and they want to talk to us about continuing to be on the team and to pick up some additional work. So we're looking forward to that meeting. The newest CITEC reporting infrastructure project, we've completed 102 of the 178 sites. We're having the same hiccup on that one as far as our warranty services. We got to improve that to basically expedite the people out into the field to make sure that any problems are corrected. There's also an issue where now they want to change the camera that's in the witness protection room. The current camera that we have in there is just provides a solid black block across the screen. And so basically, if somebody were to get up and move, then they're going to be within view of the camera. So technically, the Mexican law, it meets the requirements, but the states aren't happy about it. So we've proposed a couple of other cameras that just completely blurs the entire screen, kind of similar to what you would see on TV, which in the TV, I'm pretty sure that they do that after production. But we need it to happen live. So we're working on that. It's actually holding up about $1.5 million in invoices for us that we can't invoice until we get that resolved. It's about 12 sites that we need to invoice. The department state, the IDIQ one at AQM, that one's doing great. We were awarded $83 million in task orders, and that counts, the majority of those counts the base year plus the four option years. However, what happened is the largest one, which is a $42 million task order, the incumbent has filed a protest against our award. And so we have our attorneys working on it. They're working on it with the attorneys for the Department of State. Both the Department of State attorney and our attorneys feel like that this is kind of a frivolous protest just so that they can earn some additional revenue for a few more months. So it's kind of a small investment for them on a lawyer to get, you know, maybe an extra couple million. Well, yeah, at least a couple million dollars of revenue for the next couple of months. So they feel like there's not going to be a problem with it, but they can't guarantee us anything. Regardless, we're still added an additional $11 million in revenue per year. If that's not counting that project, if
you count that, who's the incumbent?
It's ASG, American Systems Group. And so, but without counting that, task order, we have $11 million in revenue per year. If you add that one on, it's an additional $7 million a year. So, we definitely want to win that one. So. The U.S. Army System Administrators, those are the guys down at Fort Sam Houston working at the Institute for Surgical Research. Everything's going well with them. One of the problems that came up recently is that they want them to have some additional certifications that weren't listed in the RFQ and were not listed in our contract. So we actually have a meeting set up next week with the KO to discuss how they want to modify the contract to change the scope to where these certifications are a requirement. We've been in constant communication with the Corps, with the KO, with the General Technical Manager. The General Technical Manager loves the employees, wants to keep them on. We've set up a schedule for them to get the training and take the test to get the required certifications. We talked to them about the Corps and the KO. Everybody was in agreement, but then they start throwing a fit again about it without really communicating that to us. And so we set up a meeting for Monday to discuss that with them. The Lake Mead CCTV system, that's the one that Mike Duke won. It's a $335,000 project to the Department of Interior National Park Service. It's CCTV alarm access control systems, of course, at Lake Mead National Recreation Area. He bid that one to where we have, I believe it's about a roughly 26% gross profit margin on it. So it's a pretty good project for us to win. It's not a large one, but everyone makes a difference. Looking ahead, as I mentioned about the IDIQ, we continue to get additional revenue stream, adding the $11 million just right here at the fourth quarter. The majority of those people started on 9/30, so we're not going to see really any of that revenue in fiscal year 17, but it's going to have a huge impact on us for 2018. Jacobs, as I mentioned to y'all before, they had selected us as a business sub for that JEDIC contract. It was a five-year, $450 million IDIQ. Jacobs won the award, but now, of course, what happens, there's two protests against their award. So now we have to wait out that period for Jacobs to actually receive the contract. WISMR, still in the same holding pattern, still has a draft RFP. So that's the biggest things. There's another project that Mike's been working on with the Air Force, and I don't have enough details on it to brief you on it. I don't know the value. I know it's a CCTV project, but I don't know the full details to give you an adequate.
Sure. Any questions on those projects? Okay.
Going into the financial statements, current assets were at 6.4 million, of which 3 million of that is cash. Other contributing factors included the 1.4 million in accounts receivable. We had $786,000 balance in costs in excess of billings, $702,000 balance on the certificate of deposit, $345,000 loan to MNBE, or I'm sorry, to loan to MLA. And
Who is MLA?
So Muskogee Latin America. So that's our subsidiary company that we own in Mexico City. So we had loaned them money to get them off the ground, to get them started. And as you can see from the $99,000 balance in the investment in MLA, that's the retained earnings for their company.
Okay.
The fixed assets, net position of 16,356, contributing to 6.4, we'll call it 4 in total assets. Current liabilities totaled almost $4 million, of which Roughly three of that is accounts payable. Second largest contributing factor is the $788,000 balance of the loan from MNBE, so we still need to work at chipping away that from them. Long-term liabilities included the $700,000 line of credit that we established with Spirit Bank. Ownership and equity includes $791,000 balance in retained earnings, plus the $518,000 paid in capital, $150,000 distribution to MCN, and a net profit of $542,000 for the year. Statement of comprehensive income. So looking at the income statement, fourth quarter we made $2.5 million in earned revenue, which totaled $15.4 million for the fiscal year 2017. Direct job expenses totaled right under $2 million for the same period, leaving a gross profit of $550,000. Direct job expenses for the year totaled $13.8 million, leaving a gross profit of 1.6 or 10.6%. Our MI had indirect and G&A expenses totaling $269,000, leaving a net profit of $280,000 or roughly 11.2%. And indirect and G&A expenses for the year totaled a little over $1 million, we'll call it 1.1, leaving a gross profit of $542,000 for the year. And I don't know if you want to run through the statement of cash flows. But so all in all, we had a pretty good year. I was expecting the number, our net income, to be a little bit higher, but losing that $1.5 million that we couldn't invoice for this fourth quarter until we resolved those issues basically pushed it into the first quarter of next year. So we shouldn't have a problem. We're having weekly meetings on it, weekly meetings with the government technical manager and hammering away at this daily. So.
Okay. Any questions for Matt? Pete?
No.
Ben?
No, sir.
Linda?
No.
Thank you. Linda, you have any questions for us? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next on agenda is the One Fire. No, I sent an email today. They weren't ready for financial sponsorship. That's just, they'll get next month.
Recent updates. Back in August, we worked with the nation to do the Watermelon Festival, and that went really well. I think the nation, Ag Department was happy with it. Something you guys might hear as you talked around Indian Country with folks was last week was the NAFOA was held at River Spirit, which was a great success at River Spirit, I know, but I was pleased. We got the closing ceremonies at the Flying T, mm-hmm. and it went really well. The interest level was probably the first part that was really cool, was that, you know, they usually only have maybe about 25% participation in the closing event because a lot of people are heading back home and that type of thing. But there was, what, 200, 250 people ended up coming? It was close to half. And then the even better news of that was by the time I had left the event, three other tribes had come up and said, okay, we need one of these. And, how do we get a hold of you? Mm-hmm. And two of them have already followed up, and we've got meetings set up. And so that would put one potentially in San Diego and Albuquerque, where those tribes were. And then just also as a further update on that, the Gila River Tribe in Phoenix was on site last Thursday, Friday. Their development authority has approved a flying tee right there on the highway next to the Wild Pass Casino, like at the exit before, I think it is. They've approved that. They came into town, toured the flying tee. It was about four or five of their council members, their development authority, their gaming CEO, COO, and then they all went over and toured River Spirit as well and had a really nice visit. So that's all progressing very well. Also, while we're just on the flying tee subject, they now have real estate financing commitments of about $100 million to finance the next at least five. Most of them are asking to be able to finance like the next 10. And then we also have we've also received a few LOIs from some very, very large investment firms looking to bring the equity to the, in addition to the real estate financing. So it's progressing really, really well. Just like we had hoped it would, seeing that happen. So, just additional Riverwalk items. A couple of the new shops that had opened since last time we were here was Pedego Electric Bikes, which has been very, very popular, and I believe they're still working out. They're going to make their bikes available for rental over at the casino as well. The casino had reached out about bike rentals, and so I think that's going to happen. And then the big one was Burnco opened. Holy cow. I mean, it's just hundreds of people a day coming out there for barbecue. It is absolutely insane watching people. And you may have noticed or heard, like, why isn't there a sign up? They haven't done one yet, but I don't know that the other tenants want them to, because what's happening right now is they don't know where to park, so they just park at the Riverwalk, and then they start walking around looking for it. So they get to walk by all the other tenants as well. I think they all like that quite a bit. Opening up very, very soon, Bramble is the breakfast place I think I told you guys about last time, but their construction's ongoing, and they're looking to be open, I think they're around December, January time frame. And then we just last week announced Burn Boot Camp. It's a big national group. It's one of the hottest growing. It's a ladies' fitness, ladies only. They're starting boot camps in November. They'll have their full. They'll be outdoors, and then they'll start their full services. I think they're shooting for January, but they've already got, I think, 500 members signed up just at the Riverwalk location. So, you know, just continuing to build traffic, and then that has led into the last two or three the smaller spaces that we have vacant. We have some really nice, boutique style retail that's very, very interested in those spaces, because now they're going to be sandwiched between 400 ladies here and 500 people here for barbecue and all those types of things. So it's great. Riverwalk's great. Flip to the next page. The Council House project is, I hope maybe some of you have been down there to take a look at it. It is final walkthroughs are scheduled for a week from this coming Monday. So it's well ahead of schedule. The original schedule called for it to be done by the, just really towards the end of the year. But, and if you'll recall correctly, the reason that we were even kind of involved in that was the you know, over $1 million worth of tax credits that we were able to monetize. And the critical piece of that was having that done by the end of the year. So we were able to get the schedule ahead and move that forward. And it looks beautiful, too. We actually, all of us, had a chance to tour it last week, and it's gorgeous. Really, really gorgeous.
Okay.
Just on that, just a few things I know we've talked about in the past. So, you know, 100% of the tarot vendors that bid on the project were awarded the project. So you've got, you know, over $1 million, almost $1.5 million of tarot contracts went out on the, and you know, it's a little over $3 million project. So over half of the work was done tarot, and then there was a smaller percentage of that was pre-owned, but that was just because of bids. I mean, that's where they came from. So we're real proud of the way that whole project has gone, being on time, on budget. It's a good use of native-owned businesses. So I'm very pleased with that. We also, if you switch back a couple of pages, next page there. So we just completed another acquisition since we last met. Next page. Of B&T Seal Coating and Striping. We did 100% acquisition of them. Officially closed it last week. Got all the paperwork signed. Great company. It's been around for many years and is kind of the leader in this market. Owners were looking to retire and, you know, kind of move on to the next phase of their life. Had built a really great company. Creek owned, came to us first. And we've actually been talking with them for upwards of a year, kind of putting the whole thing together and, you know, taking their time, taking our time, getting it done well. And really, really excited about the company. Should add a couple $100,000 a year profit to our bottom line.
Last question. What was the purchase price of this?
It was a little over $1 million. Exact number is like 1.1 something like that. And then there's still a little bit in escrow between the two of us to net out receivables and payables. So, but great company though. We've actually already seen, you know, so through our construction relationships, our property management relationships and so forth, we've already been able to identify maybe about $500,000 a year in new business that we should be able to capture. And they already were kind of maxed out on staffing, so we really think it's going to be an opportunity to work with training and development, to hire citizens to come do the work. So the next page is just kind of, it's, you guys have seen this list before, but so this is the current, the next two pages are kind of the current portfolios of companies that we are either directly operating or have a passive investment in. What I would tell you without going into a great amount of detail about each one, but what I would say is that as a whole, the portfolio is all performing very well. You know, like any group of almost 20 companies, you've got ones that are doing better and worse in each year, but for the most part, they're all doing very well. Big Elk is growing like crazy. As you'll recall, last time we did acquire a majority percentage of that and now own 51% of the company, and it's doing very, very well. Pageant Machine is another one that we now have a majority interest of, and you know, we've been able to directly influence almost about a 50% increase in revenues. Just all in all, it's doing well, the entire portfolio. The next page is the ones that we operate in addition to having just, you know, an investment in. So these are the ones you've seen. Obviously, the holding company, Council Oak, is the construction company. that's doing the council house and so forth. A couple other things on the next page, economic development, just some of the things we've kind of worked on the, kind of with the, did you have a question?
Yeah, on the mobile home park, I think there was a question asked earlier. Where we stand on it, or what's are the houses, so the moving situation?
Yeah, so I mean, we have the eviction plan, the relocation plan in place, right? I mean, not in place, but ready to start when we know what the plan is. So the thing's going to make, you know, about $120,000 to $150,000 a year as it is. I think you'll see right now, through 8 months, it's made $94,000. You know, obviously, we don't want to pull the trigger and blow that up until we know what our plan is. Yeah. Right. So the plan's really going to come down to, you know, from our perspective of, I mean, it's not really, we got to get, you know, kind of in conjunction with the nation, with the casino, et cetera, to kind of develop a plan. Chief brought up a couple of new ideas last week even. So I think, again, we're just going to kind of operate it as is, let it be profitable until which time we're ready to make a change. So it's a great piece of land. I mean, there's so many options you can do with it, but it's going to take some money to develop. So this economic development slide, just I'm not sure I wanted to include this. I'm not sure you guys are even aware, but so you know, mainly the Tulsa Chamber, for example. I mean, they're constantly out doing business development efforts to attract companies to Tulsa. Amazon has been in the news a lot. It's obviously that's a pretty long reach. I'm not sure Tulsa even really hits all the qualifiers, but they often reach out, you know, to the nation, usually through us, just for like letters of support of these things, right? So it means a lot when they hear from any elected officials that we support this, we like this. So these are, you know, Amazon's huge, but I mean, just to give you an example of like the Project Hercules, that is a project that would be located within the Creek Nation. It's about $1 billion investment. You know, it's 900 jobs, it's those types of things. So obviously anything we can do to help support the chamber and attracting those, we want to do, because the model is very much similar to what you guys have seen, I'm sure, in the news over the last couple of years, like the Macy's distribution center that the Cherokees were able to help, you know, facilitate that. So anyway, there's no real direct impact of those on us, but they are important.
You know, on these current investments, I don't see where I can be able to see which one, what they're generating as far as investment income-wise.
Yeah, and
can you?
We can. There's so many different ways to look at them because they're all so different, right? So on the debt ones, that's real easy, right? So
just send me this week and I'll send everybody so we can have an idea of what the investment was originally and where we are on now and what kind of gains they've made for us.
Sure. And go ahead.
Do you think is there any way to entice Amazon to in the nation then?
You know, so the latest I've heard is that
didn't they pick Austin already?
No, they haven't picked yet.
Okay.
What I've heard, seen, whether it's in the newspaper or talking to Mike Neal at the chamber, etc., is that, you know, Tulsa and Oklahoma City are going to partner up to try to attract them, because really neither community in and of themselves can do it. So I mean, they're both going to try to, but it's really going to be more of a state of Oklahoma effort. And, you know, so there, who knows, right? But, I mean, they've talked about, you know, kind of the Stroud, maybe even Bristow area. So, I mean, it's potential, but it's also potential it could be in Cushing. You know, I mean, it's just, who knows?
So what did they say they need?
Oh, gosh. There was actually a good graphic in the paper today. But, you know, they need a population of a million at least. There needs to be flight options, you know, direct flight options to certain areas, you know, where they have other operations. There's, you know, they need 500,000 square feet of office space, which doesn't exist in either space as well. I mean, the list is big, but every community and the United States right now is trying to convince them that that's the place to go. My guess is they're going to end up like in Denver, maybe in Austin, something like that. I mean, they've got it. I mean, it's going to end up in a big metro. But the beauty of, I mean, the thing I'm glad to see the state of Oklahoma in general and then us, you know, helping with letters of support and those types of things is that if you even get on the radar, right, there's a lot of other businesses looking to relocate all the time. So it's, I think that's probably where their initiative is really focused, is just the ancillary businesses you might get out of it. But, you know, I think a good opportunity for us to think about as a nation, you know, talk about maybe large relocations of businesses, is, you know, Toyota moving to Frisco Plano area from California. Well, there's a lot of suppliers to them that need to go somewhere and need to be closer to Toyota than they're going to be staying out in California, right? So that's where, you know, we could influence and, you know, some relocations of whether it's a wiring harness supplier or whatever. I mean, all the parts of a car. And it's a lot cheaper to do business here, right? So I had read a study from one of the large private equity firms that said if a company's EBITDA was $250,000 in California, it's like $2 million here. By the time you know, with payroll and cost of living and taxes and all those types of things. So that could be an enticing relocation effort. And, you know, lots of times they're looking for land. They're looking for, you know, any sort of incentive. So obviously that's the type of thing the nation could help with. So past the economic development page gets into the financial data. If you'll skip ahead to the page that has the income statement on it, it's probably of the most interest to you. And I apologize, we actually made a change to this today per your request last month to separate out the CNG. And I lost a line on the bottom which had our version of EBITDA on it. So is anybody familiar with what I just said, EBITDA? So EBITDA, earnings before depreciation and amortization. Since those don't matter to us, they don't really affect us. And then there's also some of the intertribal stuff that numbers that we hit. So there's another line due here, but ultimately what it shows is, and this is for 11 months ended 8/31. The 9/31 numbers, once you're done with Council House, I think Linda, you just processed a couple of large payments since 8/31 on Council House. When it's all said and done, if you look over to the furthest right column at the bottom, that number at the end of 9/31 is going to really be positive, somewhere in the neighborhood of about $200,000. So there's just going to, since this, you know, it's our fiscal year end as well, closing out those fiscal books and then giving you the real calculation, you know, minus depreciation and those things, that number will flip pretty nicely. So
once you finish that, you'll send us a copy?
Yeah. So as soon as we close out the actual year end, I'll get you a copy of that, and then we'll be immediately. You've got with the new audit firm, we'll be immediately starting our audit pretty quickly. So,
okay,
and then you'll of course get a copy of that as well. So,
any
that's
questions?
The summary look.
Pete, questions? No. Adam, question. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Real pleasure.
As always,
always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Not that great anymore, but it's good to see you. How's your doctor?
Oh, I don't know what kind of thing you stole me country club to blow around.
I've had a grand total of five rounds of golf.
Thank you very much.
My wife got me.
You're going to have to get with us more.
She got...
Moving on down to our next item, announcements. Any announcements?
Motion adjourned.
Motion adjourned. Second. All officer, aye.
Aye.
Adam.
Much appreciated.